I spoke with comic and actor Aziz Ansari in 2010 when he was co-starring in the NBC series Parks and Recreation. In 2009, he was in the Judd Apatow film Funny People. Ansari's parents are from India, but he grew up in South Carolina and was the only person in his school who wasn't white. Now, you did create an alter ego comedian named Randy, which you portrayed in Funny People, and there's some really funny... you can find these on YouTube. Really fun, funny video.
Wait, you're not going to play any excerpts from the Randy?
Oh, they're
the
so filthy. There's like absolutely no word I could probably play on the radio.
Wait, can you say tatties? That's not even a real world. That's a word that Randy made up. Tatties.
Right.
You can say tat. Let's just both say tatties. Terry, can you just say tatties real quick just to do it?
Oh no, I would never say that word.
But that's not a real word.
I know.
Randy made up that word.
I know.
You could
know,
say
I know.
It.
You're gonna make
it would be a landmark moment for NPR if you just said tatties one time. It's not a real word. They don't have to bleep it. It's an imaginary word.
Put it in a sentence for me.
Look at those tatties. They gotta let this on, please. They're definitely not gonna put any of it on NPR.
Okay, imaginary scenario. 4-year-old says to his mother, "Mommy, what's a tatty?"
And she'll be like, "I don't know. Is that something you heard on NPR?"
Then it must mean an intellectual endeavor involving...
Tatties refers to a rare form of violin playing that was practiced in ancient Denmark.
Thank you. Tatties, that's among my favorite type of music.
You said tatties.
There
you did
go.
It. You did.
In addition to starring in such films as The Other Guys, Step Brothers, Blades of Glory, Stranger Than Fiction, Elf, Talladega Nights, and Zoolander, Will Ferrell spent 7 seasons on Saturday Night Live, where he did characters ranging from George W. Bush to James Lipton and Robert Goulet. We spoke in 2006. One of the things you became famous for on Saturday Night Live was your impersonation of George W. Bush. And, of course, in 2000, the debates that you did with Daryl Hammond as Al Gore, I mean, became, like, really quite famous. Do you think that they influenced how people who watched the show actually thought of the candidates?
Yeah, I've been told as much that we actually... I mean, well, it was... You know, we had found out later that the Gore people showed the sketch, the first one we did, to the candidate and to the vice president to say, "Look, this is how you're perceived." And so I guess we did. It was kind of a crazy time to have all eyes on us, you know, in that moment.
Let's hear a short clip of you doing George W. Bush, and this is from Saturday Night Live. My guest is Will Ferrell.
The following is an address by the President of the United States.
Good evening, America. I'm very happy to be back in this country after my very successful trip in the Pacific Rim. I'm heartened to hear that, for the most part, the people of this country show strong support for my agenda. However, lately there are some who are beginning to criticize this administration. Maybe these people don't understand. America is presently at war, not just a war on terrorism, but we are engaged in a deadly standoff with an axis of evil. You know who I'm talking about. Iran, Iraq, and one of the Koreas. But my axis of evil doesn't seem to interest some people out there. Some people just want to talk about the economy and budgets and Enron. I bet most of you out there don't even understand Enron. I sure as heck don't.
That's Will Ferrell as George W. Bush. I spoke to Mort Saul in 2003, in a different era of politics and satire. George W. Bush was still in the White House. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart hadn't quite yet reached the status of essential viewing, and the Colbert Report didn't even exist. The occasion for my interview with Saul was the 50th anniversary of his first performance at the San Francisco nightclub The Hungry Eye, where he started to really click with audiences. That was about the time that he started to take an anti-authority position on stage.
The blacklist was on then. Not that it isn't on now. And it was the Russians were provoking us, you know, at every turn in Berlin and all. And I pointed out to the audience that every time the Russians threw an American in jail, we would throw an American in jail to show them they can't get away with it. I used to get up and, quote Shaw, who said, a woman who demands her equality renounces her superiority, and a lot of Freud. And so it was, don't be ashamed to be intellectually curious. That's what it was about.
So before you performed at the Hungry Eye, had you performed anyplace else before?
Yeah, in Los Angeles. I was trying to get started for about 2 years, very unsuccessfully.
What were you doing before and when you were in L.A.?
Oh, imitations of movie stars and anti-authoritarian stuff about people and policemen, mostly about being a misfit in society, which, of course, makes you everybody. So there was no success here. The city was unconscious. May still be.
Were you doing,
as far as I...
were you doing James Cagney impressions like every other comic?
No. It was way out stuff, you know, the cadence of political people and the president, and also the sense of what they said, more than an impression. I mean, in the sense, well, let me give you an example. Here was Johnson, later I did this, expanding the war, and the way he would do it, as he established a draft and a democracy, he said, you know, it would be wonderful if the world was at peace. It would be wonderful if other countries wanted peace as much as we do. Unfortunately, they don't. Therefore, I'm sending a truck to pick up your brother in the morning. That was basically what, you know. So it was kind of looking in and saying, where are we, and does anybody else feel this way?
The late George Carlin was a comic who reveled in mocking taboos, riffing on religion, politics, and euphemistic language. In 1973, the New York Pacifica station, WBAI, broadcast a Carlin monologue which became his most famous, The Seven Dirty Words You Can Never Say on Television. This led the FCC to threaten sanctions, and the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, which ruled that you could not say these seven dirty words on radio or TV. I spoke to Carlin in 2004. We started with a 1972 recording of his now legendary monologue. Of course, for the broadcast, we had to bleep the words that made the routine famous.
There are 400,000 words in the English language, and there are seven of them you can't say on television. What a ratio that is. 399,993 to 7. They must really be bad. They'd have to be outrageous to be separated from a group that large. All of you over here, you seven. Bad words. That's what they told us they were, remember?
That's a bad word.
No bad words. Bad thoughts. Bad intentions. And words. You know the seven, don't you, that you can't say on television? Shit, piss, f***, suck a mother, huh? Those are the heavy seven. Those are the ones that'll infect your soul, curve your spine, and keep the country from winning the war.
George Carlin, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks, Terry.